I would never jump off the top of the highest building in the world. But I invite you to do that with me now vicariously through an eagle named Darshan. Let's watch. You are seeing a conservation crew take Darshan to the top of the highest building in the world in Dubai. Its height, 2,700 feet. And there is the view. Darshan is diving from a height twice as high as the Empire State Building. Look at the curve of the earth. You are seeing what eagles see. He is looking for a spot on the ground. Amazingly, he can see his trainer from that far up. He has the wisdom to avoid that building. He is diving at approximately 90 miles per hour. Now gliding, but in a moment you will see his shoulders come in and he will go into a headlong dive once he's ready for his final approach. Now he sees his trainer and he goes into a headlong dive to the red square. And in he comes. Friends, today we look at God through the lens of the eagle. In our continuing series on God's aviary, more than 300 passages in the Bible refer to birds. And we've selected 5 birds to look at and to learn lessons about God from. And as our little one said before, last week was the raven, and next week the sparrow, then the hawk and the dove. Each week learning something different about God, even as the biblical writers wanted us to, which is why they referenced birds. Some of the most amazing creatures in God's creation. Birds are prominent in the stories of the Bible. You remember that when Moses was leading the Israelites through the desert, they were fed with quail. Or that after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph took a turtle dove as an offering. And that infamous reference after Peter denied Jesus and the cock crowed early in the morning. Today we look at the eagle, which has always been in cultures for a long time a symbol of strength and power. Its wingspan can be over 6 feet. It can weigh as much as 15 pounds. And last summer, this feather that I retrieved found me sitting staring at this eagle. And I love to fish, but I couldn't fish. I was just so intrigued watching the eagle up in the pine tree. And he was watching me, by the way. The strength, the speed, the longevity, they can live up to 80 years, all have combined to teach people something more about life and something about God. In the Roman Empire, some 600 years before Jesus, the eagle was the symbol of the standard bearer of the Roman legions. And then, of course, in our own land in 1776, when our country declared its freedom, they realized they needed a seal for our new country. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and Benjamin Franklin were tasked with creating a seal, and they went about the work, but they couldn't get everybody in Congress to agree. Now there's the problem. So it took from 1776 to 1782 until they could finally agree on a seal, and what symbol was included in the seal? The eagle, as a symbol of strength. Quickly it spread. It wasn't official at the time, but it spread to other documents, on buildings, on currency. So it's now the icon for our very own country, as you well know. The eagle is mentioned 33 times in the Bible, but perhaps not so famously as the Isaiah passage we look at today. Because that passage is so instructive about how God has the power to lift us above the problems of our life. The reason Isaiah wrote this to begin with is that as a prophet, he had just announced to the Israelite people some really bad news. He announced to them that the Israelite nation would soon be taken captivity in Babylon. From the north, the Babylonians had descended and were about to take over Jerusalem, destroy what everyone knew, destroy culture and community, and take these people into captivity, as they did. And as Isaiah announced this bad news, this news of doom and coming defeat, he then adds a word of hope, even as he says, bad news is coming. He doesn't use the word, but we can see it there. But, and he goes on with the essence of this passage, but they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Using the eagle as a symbol and a reminder of strength, and that God's power and strength will eventually redeem them and return them to Jerusalem, which indeed happened some 60 years later. And so we take that passage today as a reminder that in our own exile, in our own times of defeat and discouragement, there is a God who lifts us beyond and sees us through. You know those times of exile and defeat. They are prominent in life. Some of you bring them into this room today. Experiences of sadness or brokenness of body or dreams. Sudden detours and defeats, fearful changes and difficulties in relationships, accidents, diseases, deceit, betrayal. Fill in the blank. You know what it means to be in exile from a life that you want. You know what it means to feel lost and broken. And it's to our situation today, even as it was back then, that God still speaks using the eagle as a reminder that the power of God lifts us beyond all of these things. I will raise you up on eagle's wings, says the song we soon shall hear. And that is truth. Let's remember a few things about how this works, though, because it's easy to forget. And the first thing to remember in this journey of life, as we seek to get through all of these times of exiles, is to remember who you are. Remember who you are. One of my favorite movies is Rudy. And I've often referred to that scene in the football movie Rudy, where this young man, seeking with all his energy and heart to make the Notre Dame team, can't make it. He goes through all this effort. He's just left out. He's not going to make it. His dream is not going to happen. He's deferred and detoured. Finally, he's talking to a theology professor after a class at Notre Dame. He asks, why? Why? And this noted, intelligent theology professor says, Rudy, I've been teaching theology for a long time. I've come to know only two things. There is a God, and it's not me. Remember who you are, my friends. You are not God. We are creatures of the Creator. And as such, we are not meant to walk alone. Back in 1875, a poem was written which has become famous and more popular in our culture than in a while today, because it reflects the self-centered narcissism which so attacks this country. That poem, called Invictus, by William Hemley, includes these famous words. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced or cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. It sounds great, but it's the essence of the individualism that says, I don't need anyone else. I can handle everything. I am the captain of my soul. And that's a lie. Because none of us is meant to be the captain of our soul or the master of our faith. We are created to be in relationship with a God who offers to give us strength for the times we need it. And always there come those times. Remember who you are. A creature of God, needing God. And that's where humility comes in, where we bow our heads in prayer and say, God, we need you. I cannot do it alone. You know those feelings when you realize you cannot do it alone. In the text, it's fascinating that in those few verses, four different times, the word weary is used. Is there anyone here who's weary of trying to do it all on your own? Is there anyone here who's weary of thinking that you can solve all your problems? Is there anyone here who's weary of being all by yourself because you choose to be? God's intent is to lift us above that weariness. And that's what Isaiah was telling the people of Israel. Some of you here are friends of Bob. That's code language, as many of you will know, for people who are participants in Alcoholics Anonymous. Many, many people have come through that program. Some of you, some of your family or friends, and most of you know that the 12-step program is a deeply spiritual program that's been adopted to other addictions and problems. The heart of the AA 12-step program begins with the first admission, which says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Friends, in humility, we admit we are powerless to handle our lives by ourselves. Remember who you are. Oh yes, in the self-esteem movement, we must know that God's given us abilities and talents, but not for using them alone. And that leads to the second thing to remember. Remember who God is. For God is a God of this incredible power that we can't begin to fathom. The power of the eagle is representative of God's power because it enables this eagle to fly high and long and to live long and to be strong. All images to think about God. But Isaiah reminds us about God as well. God is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Ponder that again for a moment, for too often we take for granted what we think we know well about the nature of God, the everlasting God. That means God always has been and ever shall be, and nothing will change God. All time, all experience, the creator of the ends of the earth. We marvel, I hope, during this summer season at the beauty of creation, but ponder the extent and the miracle of it. Perhaps recently you stood outside and looked at the stars. And in so doing, you might have even seen the star that is the furthest away that we can see with the naked eye. That star is called Deneb. It's 1,550 light years away. A light year is 6 trillion miles. You can see that far. But astronomers tell us, through the Hubble telescope, that the known universe is 13.2 billion light years large. That's how far the farthest galaxy is that we've yet discovered. This is the Creator God. And if God made all those things, then we in humility acknowledge that's who God is. That's the God we worship. And we remember that we are the Creator and God, creation, and God is the Creator. In 1979, scientists detected a burst of radiation explosion out in the universe. gamma rays exploded for some unknown reason. Listen to what they described. They said the burst of gamma radiation picked up by the satellites lasted for only 1/10 of a second. But in that brief instant, it emitted as much energy as the sun does over a period of 3,000 years. And if the sun had belched out that same amount of energy, our sun, the Earth, would have been instantly vaporized. How great is this God of ours? Remember who your God is. Pascal, the French mathematician and philosopher, summarized it this way. He said, "The greatest single distinguishing feature of God's power is that our imagination gets lost just thinking about it." Remember who you are, but also remember who God is. And thirdly, remember what God does with this power. For this is not a God who takes the power and sits in the corner of the universe on a coffee break and says, "Have a good trip." As revealed in Jesus, this is a God who displays His power and wants to use His power for His children's good. And we know that through Jesus. Time and again, it was the power of Jesus Christ who came into people's lives and changed things and lifted them above the tragedies and trials and troubles that they were facing. You remember, Jesus healed a man who was lame. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from death. Jesus gave sight to the blind man. Jesus cast out demons from the mentally ill man. He gave hopeless people hope. He gave doubting people faith. He gave unloved people love. That power came down on Christmas and lived among us, revealing that God wants to use His power for you and me to lift us above our trials, troubles, and tragedies. So remember who you are as a creation of God. Remember the power of God, and remember what God wants to do with that power. He wants to change your life, that you might be lifted above and soar beyond whatever it is you're facing. Recently, I had a conversation with a parishioner who just got some very, very bad news. The kind of news that makes many people shake in their boots and cry uncontrollably. The kind of news that suggests that life on this earth might not go on very much longer. I talked with her. You know what I found? I found a person of such strong faith that our conversation was filled with laughter of times gone by. Our conversation was filled with scripture reading, not from me, the pastor, but from her. Our conversation was filled with a statement, "Whatever happens, it's all going to be fine." Because God's power had lifted her above the diagnosis and given her the hope that we're intended to have. My friends, may you likewise remember who you are. Trust in the one who wants to give you the power to lift above all the trials of life, that you can soar and be strong even as an eagle. For they that wait upon the Lord and hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You will renew your strength. You will mount up as an eagle. May that happen today and always for you. Let's pray. O Lord our God, forgive us for the many times we forget who you are and who we are. Lord, forgive us for the many times that we act and think and speak as if we're the master of our fate and the captain of our soul, when indeed you are God. And help us, O God, in the midst of the storms, to see you reaching out to us in power, that we might be lifted above and soar in faith. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.